turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
I'm Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister, and if you don't listen to Knockout Radio, you may just find yourself in one of my jails.
And we're back. This is Knockout Radio coming to you live on Tournament Day Pizza.
All right, so I even wrote this down so that I would remember to go back to the story. Okay. So one of the Fanatics tweeted to Paul Felder.
Yes, the Irish Dragon.
And said, "You are a much better commentator than fighter."
Okay.
And might have even gone on so far.
I would agree with that.
As to say, you're not a very good fighter either.
He's a great commentator.
So Paul Felder said, "Why don't you say that to my face?"
Okay.
And you know what said Fanatic said?
You're too short?
No, because you'd kick my ass.
He goes,
he's like, touche. Okay. Okay.
I would say it to him.
What would you say to him?
Oh, like, you're a great commentator. He really is a better commentator than a fighter.
Well,
I think he's great. I love watching him commentate.
You love watching him commentate?
I think he's great at what he does.
But you watch him commentate?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Hold on.
In the beginning?
No, hold on. You watch him commentate.
Well, when he's on TV.
You don't listen to him. You watch him.
I do both.
Well, you really don't.
There's video with the audio.
Very little.
It's like this show right now. We're on YouTube. People are watching me as I'm talking.
You don't think that when they go and scream after a knockout and stuff?
I like it.
Do you really?
I like the excitement. I love it. Because I'll be honest, once, like, Joe Rogan was the voice of the UFC.
He still is.
And Goldie. And that was the team, right? It was Joe was the main, and Goldie was, like, the assistant, right?
Yeah, I want you to tell him that.
No, he was the assistant.
Tell Goldie.
And then he was, I'll tell it to his face. Just text. I'm a keyboard warrior.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Okay, so once Goldie left, and it kind of was, like, a little weird, like, for a while. You know, watching the fights, and then Joe wasn't there.
Yeah, no, but
if he didn't travel internationally.
But that's not true, because Anik basically replaced Anik is good.
He's better now.
The only thing that I dislike, and I'm a nobody, I get that. The only thing that I dislike that John Anik does, and they all do, is call it a war. I hate when they call a fight a war.
True.
Because it's not a war. Go let bullets fly by your face and then call
like
something.
Dominic Cruz, it doesn't do anything for me. Like DC, I could take or leave.
I'd rather leave.
I mean, I like Bisping. I think Bisping does a great job with it.
I like Bisping.
I think Bisping's got the
I think Cruz is knowledgeable.
He is. He's very knowledgeable because they've lived it.
Right. I don't think he comes across as entertaining, but again, that's necessarily not, you know, you're supposed to project what's going on. But as long as you don't call it a war, I'm good. You can say anything you want other than a war.
Fair enough.
With that, let's head up to, I know you wanted to go to Long Island.
Are you
going to
declare a war right now?
Shut up. Let's welcome back to the program. It's been a long, long time, Misha Tate. Misha, how are you?
Hello. Excellent. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate your time. Before we talk about Saturday, as a big fan of Big Brother, and I've tried to get on it numerous times, talk about that experience of being on Big Brother.
Oh, what a crazy experience. I mean, I could not personally, honestly, recommend it to you because it is wild. I have heard from the true professionals of the industry that is the most difficult show to be on because you're isolated from the world for an entire month. No communication in, no communication out. And I've got two littles at home, so a two-year-old and a four-year-old. It was really tough for me as a mom, you know. But I think for anyone, it would be difficult because they got you up at 3 a.m. doing interviews. You don't go outside pretty much the whole time you're there. You don't see the outdoors or the daylight anyways. And it's tough. It's grueling. But you know what? I realized from that show that I was born to compete. It wasn't even fighting that told me I was born to compete. It was that show because that was full of all crazy curveballs. And, you know, I'm proud to say I won it.
As we watched, and let me say this, I have a 36 and a 29-year-old, and I'd love to get away for a month. So, I mean, I think it would be great.
well, for you, that might be a little different then. But
exactly. So as we're watching, and obviously I wanted you to win with my MMA background, and I've covered the UFC since UFC 1 and blah, 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 blah. I guess the obvious question is, how did you survive every single, you know, eviction?
man, there was only one where it was close and questionable. I felt like that I would be, could be, I was on the block, you know?
Right.
I think I just navigated it really well. I think the majority of people were more afraid of me than not. So they wanted to be on my side because I was a great shield to get behind, you know? Like, everybody knew that I would be evicted first, so they'd rather be protected by me. Except by the time that it got to the point where I could even get evicted, I was just able to kind of keep the ball in my court. So I think I just was able to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it was definitely awesome. Now, were you a fan of Big Brother? Have you watched previous episodes?
No, I'm just not a big TV person. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I did cram 2 seasons of Celebrity Big Brother in my brain before I went on the show. So I did kind of know at that point what I was getting myself into. I was able to familiarize myself a little, but I didn't know how to play the game, you know? So that's why I think people, I really played an honest and straightforward game as well. So even though I joke about, you know, people being afraid of me, I think they also respected me. Like, hey, if she says she's going to do this, like what she's going to do, and we can trust her. She's not like lying to us. So, it was good to be on my side, I think, for sure. The majority of the house that was on my side.
Sure. And one of my favorite of all time Big Brothers, and it was way, way early, Dr. Will, who went on to win it, he was up for eviction, and he gets up to do his speech, and he goes, you might as well keep me till the end because I dislike you all. So I'm the one that needs to go to the finals, and he went to the finals and won.
Wow. See, I mean, yep. That's what I'm saying. I think there's something, too, that, like, having the honesty factor, even if people don't like what they're going to hear, when you're playing a game like that, that's a social experiment, you kind of want to work with the people who you know what you're going to get. You don't want to work with the person who's fickle, who lie and telling this person and being mischievous, even though that is a part of the game, too. I mean, it is a game. People sometimes forget to realize, like, we're in a house playing a game and trying to, you know, to beat each other for a big lump sum of money. So it can be like that, but it wasn't the way that I played the game. So it worked out for me, not knowing how to play. I guess was to my benefit.
It definitely worked out for you and for the sport that we all love. Speaking of which, on Saturday, you're back in the octagon for your third fight since returning. I'm curious, does it feel different? Like, did the fight 2 fights ago feel different? Obviously a long career, but after, you know, walking away and then coming back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was so much more enjoyable. You know, I figured out that I really struggled with identity, you know, before when I retired. I was like, you know, I am Misha Tate, the fighter. That's who I am. Now it's what I do. Who I am is myself. I'm a mother. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a businesswoman. I'm doing all these things, you know, but it's like being a fighter is a part of that. It's where I get to have my passion explored. It's where I get to test myself. It's where I get to take myself into the deepest, darkest realms of my spirit and soul and pull myself up on my bootstraps and wear my big girl pants when I go in there, you know? But it's not, it doesn't define me. Win or loss no longer defines me. And that was the biggest thing. I wanted to come back and put my best foot forward and take that kind of ugly pressure that I feel like was just taken away from me. I didn't want to bring that into the octagon. I didn't want to leave with any what ifs. So that's the main reason why I decided to come back, because I do love this sport and I was turning it into something that I didn't enjoy anymore. And I didn't see a point to that. You know, it's a dangerous sport. You don't, if you don't want to be in there, you know, you got to be all the way in or all the way out. So I'm all the way in.
So Misha, I see, you know, along the lines of what you just said about this is what you do, not who you are. Whoever runs your social media campaign, whether it's you or your team, it's phenomenal. Like the way you have memes and you engage and you answer questions, you know, play games. A recent one is, you know, I never, you know, I'm playing the game. I've never been bungee jumping. And I know Randy has a jumping off an airplane story with Greg Jackson or almost jumped off an airplane with Greg Jackson. So, but I think it's awesome to get to know, you know, the fighters and get to know other than just win-loss records and pay-per-views, but to get to know the people behind it. So kudos for that, because I think it's one of the best pages I've seen.
Thank you. I really want to change the way that I've represented myself on my social media, because I've been kind of closed book. You know, it's always been just what I wanted people to see. And now I want people to get a sense of who I am and my personality. You know, I want to share these things. And I do enjoy getting on my social media and seeing the other things that people, how they interact with me. And I do read the comments and I go through. And it doesn't all have to be fight related, because that's not everything that I am, you know. So I want people to see those experiences and kind of just get to know me. That's the point, I think. If you're going to have a social media page and account, like, I just didn't want it to be so dry anymore. I just felt like, it's so mundane. It's something I don't look forward to. And now I like doing this. I like putting those things out on social because it gives me an opportunity to be who I am and accurately represent myself.
I just have one critique for it, though.
Uh-oh.
Well, so your first car was a Kia Rio. Is that correct?
Yep.
So for people like Randy to participate in the online challenge and games, there weren't cars when he actually was driving. So we got to make sure.
Horse and buggy.
We got to make sure it was something we can relate to.
You're an idiot.
What was your first buggy then or whatever, right?
He's kidding. I'm not quite that old.
The Stagecoach, wasn't it? The Wells Fargo Stagecoach?
The Fred Flintstone mobile or whatever. I'm curious. Obviously, the fight on Saturday is earlier than normal, which is great for us old people, which means we can stay awake for it. How do you or what do you need to do to get acclimated? So, yeah, exactly. Did you have to do anything? Do you have to do anything to, you know, because I believe your fight kicks off at like 2 in the afternoon, Eastern, which is really 11 a.m. for you guys on the left coast.
Yep. Congrats. You can do math.
How about that?
You know, I honestly, you guys, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I am a morning person. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. So I'm up every day at 6:30. And I love the fact that I get to get this fight done earlier in the day, what would be 11 a.m. If I could wake up, warm up, and fight, that would be ideal for me. So this is closer to that than I've ever been able to hit that mark before. I like to do all my training sessions. Every hard session is always in the morning. So for me, that's exciting. You know, I've trained my whole life to try to perform at night, and I can do that too. I can adjust if I need to. But this one, I didn't even have to make any adjustments because I'm like, are you kidding me? This is perfect. Like, I couldn't have asked for something better. I personally don't love having to wait around all day and, like, wait till nighttime to fight. You know, I just want to get up and go. So this fight will be fun because I get to do exactly that.
And it's great for me because then I can go to bed by 5:30 and, you know, everything will be good. Before I ask you about...
I'll probably be celebrating on Saturday, so I won't have an early bedtime, but normally I'm all about that life too. I'm like 9 o'clock, sweet. If I'm in bed by 9, I'm one happy camper.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Before we talk about the fight on Saturday, I want to let you know that we broadcasted from International Fight Week Radio Row. We had Carrot Top on, and he brought up that you're his favorite fighter and that you've been to see his show. What did you take out of going to see the top?
Oh, my God. He was so funny. What a unique, quirky guy. I mean, I actually got to have a conversation with him, and we've kind of stayed friends ever since. So he was great. I mean, I'd recommend his show to anybody. He's a total goofball, and he's the same way as he is on stage, off stage. And it was a good show. I should go see it again. I mean, it's been a long time. I should definitely go again.
And it's definitely different. I've seen him a few times. We went and saw him that Friday of International Fight Friday, whatever that date was. And, you know, the same quirky show, but different props. And it's hilarious. It's definitely worth seeing often.
Yeah. Well, thank you for reminding me of that again. I mean, I live in Vegas, so there's no excuse.
Before we let you go, obviously, let's touch on Saturday night back in the Octagon. Give me your thoughts on Lauren Murphy.
Oh, man, you guys, I am so excited for this fight. I don't know, maybe it's the drop to 125, because I've never fought at 125 before. I've always fought at 135, and I always feel like I've been at a bit of a physical disadvantage, whether it be height, reach, or general size and weight. And this will be the first time that I feel like I'm fighting at the weight class I was always meant to. And just to remind you guys, like back when 2013, when the UFC finally inducted women into the UFC, 125 was not an option. So, and when I retired, 125 still wasn't in the UFC. So anyways, what I'm trying to tell you guys is just expect fireworks, because I feel like this will be the mark of my career. This is going to be the fight that launches me into the title fight with Valentina Shevchenko. It's going to make me a number one contender. Laura Murphy is a very tough, gritty gal. I think she's mastered the basics, but she's not a creative fighter, and she's not the better athlete. I think I'm going to just do amazing things on Saturday stylistically. This fight is just perfect for me. And she's ranked in the top five. So what a treat, you know, what a welcome to 125. Get a win over her and solidify myself as the number one contender. And within this next year, I want to be the champ at 125.
It would be great stuff. Are you okay with Seahawks and Russell Wilson being gone?
We miss him. I miss him. I like Russell Wilson as a guy, as a player. I mean, I don't know him personally, but he, just the way he represents himself, of course, and a, you know, an amazing player himself. But what are we going to do? You know, when the one door closes, another one opens. So we'll see what good things are to come.
Absolutely. Misha, thank you for your time. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from Oddsock Official, as well as a care package from 8 Man Strong, and a box of, it's really cool. It's called Right to Trek. They're bagged foods that are typically for hikers and backpackers, but I eat them in my kitchen at the house. Some of the best mac and cheese you'll ever have, shrimp and grits, all sorts of cool stuff. So we're going to send you some of that as well for coming on with us today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm ready to eat, you guys. It's been a long camp. I'm dropping to 125. I've been on a very strict diet, so send me all the food. Feel free to include cupcakes, because that always makes me very happy. But no, thank you guys, and I do appreciate it.
I would send you the cupcakes again, but they sold the company to Hickory Farms. So the owners of Wicked Good Cupcakes are no longer the owners, but I'll make a call to them to see if we can send you more cupcakes again.
All right, you guys are the best. Thank you.
Thanks for remembering. Have fun on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Take care, Misha Tate back on. And how about her remembering the cupcakes we sent?
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
How good Wicked Good Cupcakes are.
Yeah, I went there. Fentanyl Hall. I went there in
Fentanyl
Boston.
Hall.
I thought it was Fentanyl Hall.
No, Fentanyl.
Oh, Fentanyl Hall's not a different place.
You are an idiot. All right, we're over. So let's hit a quick break, and we'll return to wherever we are. Tournament to Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Justin Leonard from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
I'm Kevin Hazlett. As a prosecutor, I faced down human traffickers and drug cartels. I was threatened, even followed. But you can't seek justice if you're looking over your shoulder. In Congress, I won't be intimidated by the left or open border Republicans. The Washington cartel wants amnesty. I'll say no. They do nothing as fentanyl floods our streets. I'll fight to finish the wall. The cartels won't like this ad. I'm Kevin Hazlett, and that's why I approved it.
Buckle up.
Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship returns to Tampa, live from the Florida State Fairgrounds on Saturday, July 23rd. In the main event, interim bantamweight gold is up for grabs as undefeated champ Jared Kid Gotti Grant puts the gold up against the educated hands of Reggie Barnett Jr. Plus, the unbeaten bare knuckle sensation, Jomie Escoboza, knuckles up with the always dangerous Jared Warren. Get your tickets at BKFC.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Just because you're in the backcountry doesn't mean you need to compromise on what you eat. Right On Trek adventure meals are better than home cooking. They're designed to be light, tasty, nutrient-packed, and easy to cook in less than 10 minutes. Enjoy an unforgettably delicious meal right when you need it most. Take Right On Trek's trail-ready, restaurant-quality meals on your next adventure. Pick them up today at rightontrek.com/meals. That's rightontrek.com/meals.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Jason Sheff from the band Chicago, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
That's formerly of the band Chicago.
Oh, there's no more Chicago?
Well, no, Chicago is still together. Jason left and then since has started a new, I think it's called Radio Generation.
Okay.
With Jay DeMarcus from formerly of Rascal Flatts. Jason, and then a couple other new band members.
Okay. What was the creativity back in like the 60s when you were like growing up?
All right, smart ass. Let's go to the phone line. Let's talk about BKFC coming back to Tampa next week.
Oh, it is back to Tampa.
It is back. And on the phone with us right now, your main eventer. How about we got a main event guy? Jared Grant. Jared, how are you?
Good, man. How are you guys?
Not too bad. BKFC returns to the Tampa Bay area. I'm curious, and you know, I ask fighters this all the time. Being the main event, or being a co-main event, or being, you know, high up on the card, is there added pressure to that, or anywhere on the card is fine, or kind of walk us through that?
I mean, so being a main event clearly is it's kind of different from a lot of people. Like some people get really excited, some get nervous, some have a lot of pressure. Me, I'm very excited. I was always, I always liked the spotlight. I always liked being at the top and, like, everyone looking at me. And, you know, so I feel excited when, you know, I don't feel really a lot of pressure on me. I feel more of, I'm just going to put on a big show for everyone and, you know, just do my thing out there.
See, I'm going to jump in before Matt says something stupid, but, you know, I would want to be, even though I know money is different and, yeah, the lights are, you know, the main event, I want to be the first fight so I can get the heck out and already be home before, you know, midway through the card.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Some people are like that. Don't get me wrong. You know, waiting, the anticipation sometimes gets to you, waiting for so long and just watching all the other fights and stuff. But, no, it's for me, it's more of, it's like a, it's like a symbol that I made it this far, you know, like I'm getting to headline the event, you know, so that shows that, you know, I'm doing something right.
I've talked to fighters and some of them say that, you know, they get nervous. And if you don't get nervous, you're not in the right spot. Other fighters have said, you know, there's no nerves. This is what I do. Which do you fall under?
I would say more, not so much nervous, but more like the adrenaline rush. Like I have a lot of adrenaline. I don't know if you want to categorize that as, like, nervous or, you know, I have a lot of adrenaline. I have a lot of excitement, so I guess I feel, like, jittery and stuff like that. So I don't know if that's, like, in the same category as nervous, but that's what I feel.
What are you thinking? Are you thinking, you know, as you're walking, you know, to the squared circle, then you're in the middle of a fight, you know, people, like, always ask me about the radio, you know, the third question. I don't know the third question until you answer the first one. So are you thinking as you're walking, you know, to the fight, and then are you thinking in the squared circle, or is it just you're flowing and wherever it goes is where it goes?
No, I mean, you're constantly thinking, you know, from the time you're in the back of the room, from the time you walk out to the ring, you're thinking, like, of all the scenarios of what could go down. You know, I'm a thinker, you know, like, when I'm thinking of what, okay, of a bunch of scenarios, what happens if he does this, what happens, what am I going to do after that, and sometimes I just go in there and, you know, I flow with the fight, you know, whatever I react to whatever my opponent does. So I guess you could say I kind of flow with it too while I'm thinking.
So Jared, so going back to the anticipation part and waiting, on May 16th, you guys announced the birth of an upcoming baby. So does that change anything in your training and your thoughts, like the way you approach this fight? Does it Do you hold back at all, or do you train more intense because you're working on legacy now?
Oh, no, no. I train just as hard, if not harder. It's more motivation for me. Clearly, the money plays a factor into it, and just my legacy as well. You know, I'm having my firstborn son, and that right there is going to be an awesome feeling for, you know, my son to go say my dad was or is, you know, a world champion, you know? So that plays a big factor. That still makes me train just as hard as I do for any other fight.
Give us your thoughts on your opponent, Reggie Peña Jr.
Excuse me? Repeat that one more time.
I said, give me your thoughts on your opponent, Reggie.
My thoughts? I think, you know, he's a good guy. He hasn't said anything disrespectful towards me, so I have nothing bad to say about him. Do I think he's on my level of skills? No, I don't. I don't think he has my heart. I don't think he hits as hard as me. And I don't think he's as fast as me. You know, my youth, I'm younger than him. I'm younger by 10-plus years. You know, I think I just have everything he doesn't have, you know, in there to beat him. So,
for fans that are tuning in, and again, we've been promoting BKFC since the original one in Wyoming. It's one of my passions, being involved. You know, everything that David Feldman is and his entire team have put together. But talk to the fans of the show, the national fans, that may not be familiar with BKFC. Give them a 30-second on your thoughts of basically fighting bare knuckle.
Bare knuckle is one of the purest sports out right now. It's one of the fastest growing sports right now. You see all the famous celebrities, all the famous UFC fighters getting into it now, and that says a lot. You know, the stadiums get filled up, tickets sell out. It's one of the bloodiest, most fast-paced action sports out there right now. You know, it's not boring. There's no boring fights. You get fast-paced action. It's one of the, I mean, personally to me, one of the most intense action-packed sports there. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with it. Watching it, getting into it, anything.
I agree with you 100%. I appreciate your time. I know that we're going to have you back on next week when you and the rest of the card come to Tampa. Looking forward to hanging out. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong of some swag for coming on, as well as a box of Odd Socks from Odd Sock Official, as well as some food from Right Trek. And I want to thank you for your time, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, man. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you next week. Jared Grant, your champ.
Okay, got it.
And in the main event next week, we do have some tickets to give away.
Yes, we do.
We will do that. But first, we have to hit this break. And then another Usman comes on when we return. He was victorious last night, yes, months ago. But Muhammad Usman when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
Where did you come from, baby? And ooh, won't you take me back? Got a way, won't you, baby? Tenderoni, you've got to be.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Lynn Swan, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay for our 19th annual Tuxes and Tales. This Black Tie Gala will be hosted at the Tampa Convention Center on October 8th from 5:30 p.m. till midnight and will feature adoptable pets, a silent auction, a cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, an after party with cigars and dancing along the Riverwalk, and much more. Tickets and sponsorship are still available at www.tuxestailstampa.com. Come show your support for homeless animals in Tampa Bay while you dine and dance all night. Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Baby, don't hurt me, don't hurt me no more.
All right, don't hurt me, all right?
Okay.
I made a mistake.
Yes.
No, I was so concerned because Reggie thanked me, if you remember, when we did the show in Daytona, when I called Junior, Reggie Barnett Jr. I was so determined to say Junior that I said Reggie Pena, not Reggie Barnett.
Well, both are Reggies.
Right.
So,
but one's a junior.
You could have thrown Reggie Miller in the mix.
I should have just said Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, all the most famous Reggie of all
Reggie time. Smith. You don't know who Reggie Smith is. So Reggie Smith played for the Boston Red Sox, got traded. I think he would have had to be traded to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Okay.
And when I was bat boy for the Cardinals, and there was a little riff between Reggie Smith and Lou Brock.
Okay.
And Reggie didn't like that Lou Brock had his own Converse sneaker, and it was a little situation there in that clubhouse, if you know what I'm saying.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for the update.
There you go.
Thanks for correcting your errors.
I corrected my error. I was wrong. I made a mistake.
I don't think Dan Patrick makes mistakes.
Well, whatever. Well, the difference is Dan Patrick has co-hosts that talk.
Well, look, I'm busy.
To get involved.
I was on Twitter. I was on Google.
Yeah,
was,
you were on Marketplace looking for more free crap.
No, but I was looking for flights for November 12th. It looks like I'm going back to the second dirtiest city in the world.
What's that?
To MSG for UFC 281 announced for Madison Square Garden, November 12th.
November 12th. That's right.
So, yeah. I mean, I know you say it doesn't matter. You've walked around all these arenas, and it doesn't matter if it's in the Apex or if it's in MSG or the Garden.
True.
You don't think that the building and the history of that like arena plays a factor in the feel. I beg to differ.
All right.
I think it's a big deal. I think if you played indoor soccer at MSG for the Tampa Bay Strikers, then I think it's a much more bigger deal than like the Yuengling Center in Tampa.
I agree that I understand you saying that, but you know me, so you know why I do and say I haven't.
Where do you go for the food?
I don't even go for the food. Shut up.
Really?
I'm done in the arena. I don't go for the food. I pick, you know, where I'm going to go as to the food that we can go eat before, after, whatever.
You know, what you could do.
Can I finish my explanation?
Sure.
I've never walked. I think I walked half of Madison Square up in the press area. But, like, I don't walk around. You know, I walked around Fenway outside once, but I don't take that all in. Do I regret it? Of course I do.
Sure.
But that's me.
Well, that's what happens when you leave before the end of the fourth quarter so you can beat traffic.
Always. I've left Super Bowls early.
Before the last 1 second elbow from the Korean zombie. Yeah. Like in the
Well, hold on a second. You're throwing me under the bus there. I had a flight to catch.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Yes, I would have missed it anyway because I would have beat the traffic. But I needed to catch a flight, and I'd rather be early than like somebody else I know who missed a flight and it ended up costing them a dollar or two.
It's true.
So I wished I would take it all in, but I've always said I'm really not a fan per se. You know, I like covering the sport or sports, whatever I'm covering. And I haven't stopped to smell the roses, which I need to do soon because I'm going to be smelling them pretty soon.
You could do that. Be a unique to Randy Harris only. Exclusive. Is, you know, there's top 10 lists for everything. Top 10 this, top 10 that. What if you did top 10 media lunches from around the world?
I couldn't do that because I don't remember them. I don't remember them all.
Like, you don't remember, like because the Outback Bowl, obviously, the steak and the shrimp and the, like, you know, you have a whole list of, like, okay. And then people are like, hey, if I get in the media, I can have this kind of lunch when I go.
No, people don't care. Because I remember vividly, it was a writer who wrote when the NCAA Final Four was at the Trop.
Okay.
And he bitched in his column about the free beer that was in the media room.
Okay.
And media and fans are like, what? Who gives a crap? Why are you writing a story on the type of free beer you got in Tropicana Field for the NCAA Finals?
Are media allowed to drink?
Typically, no.
Oh, well, why would they provide free beer at a media event?
Can't answer that.
I got to get back into media.
You know, but, you know, to complain about the food, you know, we should be fortunate, and I do consider it fortunate, that we're fed. You know, because there's been times I go to an event, and I got to go out to the concession and spend money, and I don't, so I starve. But, you know, at a lot of these events, we are fed, which is cool. The UFC back in the day would send us for media lunches at some of the finest restaurants at MGM.
Oh, wow.
So I don't remember the big famous chef that has the one inside MGM. Or we've gone to Kraft Steak, which is Tom Caliglio.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a pretty famous, I forget the name of the steak. Kraft Steak is what it's called. So, I mean, that. I remember the UFC took all. How come it all seems to be UFC?
Yeah, but where's BKFC with their buffet?
In Japan, they took everybody, all of the media, out to dinner in Japan.
But yeah, they'll eat like live.
Except
animals?
One person.
Oh, well, yeah.
Like one person wasn't invited.
To the Japan?
To the big PR media luncheon in Japan.
BJPen?
And so the next day, two media people came up to me and said, we saw you leave. Why didn't you go to the luncheon with us? And I said, because I wasn't invited. They didn't invite me. They neglected, blah, blah, blah. So they took me privately to one of the, we call them chop chop, but, you know, like the, you know, the steakhouses where they don't do the flip.
Hibachi?
They don't flip the shrimp in the hat and all that stuff in Japan.
Oh, well, is it real if you don't flip the shrimp in the hat?
Well, yeah. You know, one's...
I don't want to go to one if they don't do that.
I don't want to pay extra for the onion volcano.
The volcano makes it.
It's cool.
And the spinning the egg around and then, like, flipping it up in...
And, yeah, slicing it in half. Yeah. And, yeah, none of that.
I don't have the skill.
But I don't know if I could remember that. But, you know, we could do, like, top 10... events I've covered.
Okay.
Now, it would take me a while, to remember them all, you know, the numerous Super Bowls and World Series and 200 and some UFCs. But I've told you, I only remember vividly a handful of fights of all the fights I've been to. So you know that they would be the top fights I've been to, you know, which is Trigg Hughes is the first one I ever think of.
Yeah.
I think of Vandalay Chuck instantly. They're two of my favorite fights of all time. But maybe I'll do that. You know, top 10. How about top 10 places I've gone?
Okay.
We could do that.
Any of them in the U.S.?
Well, it's always New York.
Okay.
I'd love going to New York.
Can you believe that Rome is the dirtiest city on earth, according to the new poll that came out? New York City second?
What makes it dirty?
Oh, I mean, Rome smells like an ashtray. I mean, everybody is smoking. Women, children, like people on Vespas. And it's like a pattern. Like, so here, people will smoke before or after dinner usually. They don't usually do it while they consume food. But in Italy, it seemed like the pattern was take a swig of wine, take a puff of smoke, eat a bite of food.
Repeat,
and just keep going. And so all the sidewalk cafes are in Rome, so they're outdoors. So it does smell like an ashtray.
Is this just your way to try to impress people that you've been in Rome?
Well, I mean, I have to go to Rome. I'm the naked pizza man, pizza gladiator. And the Colosseum is where I work. It's what I do. Before I was a soccer coach for the Tampa Bay Strikers.
Yeah. I can't wait until the entire both teams revolt and beat the crap out of you.
That's not true. Half of more girls, they can't fight.
Yeah, tell Misha that.
It's not my weight class. 125.
I was 125 when I was two.
Yeah, when you're born and the lose some fluid.
I know an 8-year-old that weighs more than that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, you're yeah. 8-year-old. Yeah. That kid's a beast.
He's huge.
He's a monster.
If we can do some things, you know, yeah. He's bigger than Caleb was at this age.
Wow.
And, you know, he's does MMA.
Right.
And so I don't know if I told you the story off the air or on the air, but they sparred, and he sparred with this little kid, same age as him. Okay. Right. So it's age, and the classes are by age. And so he sparred, and at the end, his mom, my daughter-in-law, said, you know, what a great job you did. And you know what Jake said? I didn't even try. I didn't want to hurt him. As his head's bouncing back from jabs. So the kid's got a little bit of talent.
Did you just call it your grandson, Jake?
I don't think so.
Rewind that.
Yeah, Steve. Rewind it.
I think you just called him Jake.
No.
Yes.
All right. Well, I purposely
did. His name is Jack.
No, that's not his name. I didn't want to purposely use his name.
What's his real name?
Well, I can't tell you.
What, they got an alias for an 8-year-old?
We're not that close that you need to know, you know, real names.
You got all the names wrong today. Barnett?
Yeah, really, I did.
Jake?
I did butcher that one.
The State Farm?
You're
not doing bingo anymore. I'm not sure you know all the numbers.
I probably wouldn't.
You call them wrong.
I could. Wouldn't be the first time. So
S-17. Like, there's no S in bingo.
What everybody could have predicted day one of 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter has come true. And Zach and Muhammad will fight in a couple weeks. I don't know exactly when. They haven't released it. For the Ultimate Fighter heavyweight title. Teammate. Well, they're not teammates. I hate that.
They're training partners.
Training. They're not even that. But
they're reality show co.
Right.
Host to co-participants. Contestants is a better word.
And that's what they are.
Now, with the name Usman on his back, I mean, is that the motivation? I mean, he has to win. I mean, the standard's so high. I mean, if your brother is, like, maybe the greatest of all time, you know, does that put an extra pressure on you to win because you have to win?
You know, I talked to Kamaru, you know, at the Eagle FC, and we talked about that. And he basically said he has to do this for himself. He's not doing it, you know, for me. He's doing it for our name. You know, the Usman name, but he's got to do this by himself, and he'll be in there by himself. So let's welcome back to the program his second appearance, Muhammad Usman. Em, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me.
We appreciate your time, and kind of like what I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, most of us who don't know anything, you know, details, we expected what came, you know, true last night. You being in the finals, you know, against Zach. Talk about, you know, the victory that we saw last night that was obviously months ago.
The victory, I watched it, and I watched it, and it was a hard-fought victory. Eduardo is a tough kid. He's a very, very tough kid. He has all my respect. He pushed me in there, and he pushed me in there to just be a better fighter, to just really be in there. And that was my number one goal. My number one goal, being in the house, was just to get Cage turned and be in there. And I did just that.
How much time, filming-wise, was your first fight to the fight that we saw last night that obviously was filmed months ago?
It was about 3 weeks.
Okay. So I'm curious, and you had to have thought that you're going to be in the finals, and I would assume Zach had to think that as well. Did you guys kind of, in your own head, think, you know, I don't want to train too hard, you know, in front of him because I'm going to have to fight this guy probably in the finals?
That never crossed my mind. The whole time training, I knew I was prepared for it because potentially I knew I could either fight him or fight somebody else. I'm going to fight him in the show or in the finale.
Makes sense.
I was preparing for him the whole time.
What was the visit like from a very good friend of mine who just happens to be a closer friend of yours since he's your brother? What was it like when Kamaru showed in the house?
It was a good feeling because at first I was just like, oh, they brought my brother here. You know, they're trying to make the show a little spicy. Then. But then just speaking with him, I really appreciated his advice. And it just kind of brought me to a place of, like, understanding. And I knew, I knew things were going to be better. And I was doing the right things in the house.
We are talking to Muhammad Usman, victorious in last night's episode of The Ultimate Fighter. Will fight in the finale. I've always said, and I said this to Zach a couple weeks ago, I've always wanted to go on Survivor. I've wanted to do some of these reality shows. And I've always told my family, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to call from you. I want to stay in that place I'm in and not think about home. Did you think about that at all, you know, when it came time to make the phone call or when Kamaru came in?
Yes, I did. When he came in, I was actually happy. I didn't think about it like that. I was thinking about it. I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a job. I'm here to win. So nothing else really kind of distracted that. So if anything, he helped me refocus.
You said that you watched the show last night. Did anything surprise you, or did you know some of those comments that other people were saying? And again, it's one thing if the guy you're fighting is going to say, he's not as strong as me, he's not as this. But when other people make comments, were you aware of that? And if you were not, were you surprised of anything in last night's episode?
Yes, I was not aware of any of those comments. And at the end of the day, I understand. Everybody wants to be a Conor McGregor nowadays. Everybody wants to just kind of talk and say things to kind of get the crowd saying, ooh. But the reality of it is, no matter what you say, number one thing is you're still going to get in there and you're still going to fight. So whatever you say can be used against you in a court of law,
Or in a street in Miami.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead and say whatever you want to say. But when we get in there, we're going to get punched in the face, and then you're going to readjust. So that's when he said that, he's like, I'm not strong. That's completely false. Because if I wasn't strong, you would have just ran over me.
Right.
But I understand he was just pumping his teammate up, and he was just motivating his teammate to win, which is a normal thing to do.
So Muhammad, speaking back to people who hype things up and maybe hype things up prematurely, I vividly remember UFC 223, Brooklyn. Randy and I were in the hotel with your brother, and he did not have a belt around his waist, but yet he said that somebody else has my belt, and his conviction was so strong that I believed him at face value when he declared he was going to be champion. And my question to you is, do you have that same conviction? Is that how you feel, like, internally? Is like, or do you need people in your corner hyping you up for these fights?
I'm definitely focused on myself. I'm definitely focused on what I want to do. And I do want to come into the UFC and make a huge spark. I understand the weight classes is different, but I know I could do a lot of big things in this weight class. And I know I'm going to be in the top very quick. So I'm very excited, and I just can't wait.
Now, I know your brother won't credit me much, but since he was on the show from the very beginning when he was on The Ultimate Fighter all the way through the ranks, and now look where he is in the rankings, hopefully we can do the same thing with you as well.
Can you repeat that?
I said, I know your brother won't give me much credit, but, and I'm saying this jokingly, Kamaru was on the show when he was on The Ultimate Fighter and then his entire way, all the way up to being the pound-for-pound champ of the world. So I'm saying hopefully we can do the same thing with you. Either I can ride you or you can ride me all the way to you becoming the champion as well.
100%. It's always good energy when I come on the show, and I can't wait to start getting these opportunities.
Let me ask you this before I let you go, because as a judge here in the state of Florida, certain things bother me on a regular basis. And even though it didn't necessarily affect your takedown, I don't think there should be a warning when you grab the fence. I think it should be an automatic point deduction. And I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Looking at that fight now, he definitely, because if he wouldn't have grabbed the fence, he wouldn't have been in that position to just bounce right back up. He would have been more on his back. And I would have had way more control, which is okay. Just looking at that fight, I still feel like you should give somebody a warning, but it just depends on the positioning. Because that was like he took my position completely away from what I wanted to do right there. So I mean, at the end of the day, I understand what you're saying, and I just think that you should be a little stricter on that.
Now that we know you're in the finals, there is another episode to go of the filming, so we'll still only talk up through last night's episode. Looking back up to that point, did you enjoy the experience? Obviously 2-0 and now going to the finals, so the outcome is right. But did you enjoy being in there, and is there anything, if you could go back and tell yourself do this or do that, what would that be?
I actually enjoyed the experience. I did everything that I could have done possibly when in the house. I can't sit here and even tell you, because that's how focused I was in the house. I did everything that I was supposed to over and beyond, including recovery, to make sure I was successful in the house. So
I don't.
But I was just not happy with my performance. At the end of the day, I'm my biggest critic, and I understand that I won the fight, and I watched the fight, and I know I won the fight. But I got to give credit to Eduardo, because he came and gave me a good fight, and it kind of took me out of my character. So I appreciate him, and I know I'm going to see him again.
Well, you know, typically when I get ready to end a conversation, you know, talk about, you know, your opponent. Talk about Zach. It's coming up in a couple weeks. You know, give me your thoughts.
I think it's going to be a good fight. I think I don't know what it is, but I think people just kind of like to psych themselves out. I like to just stay focused in the moment and just understand what I have to get done, which is win that fight. You know, no matter what, anywhere I can win it, I'm going to just win that fight. It doesn't matter how I win it, I know I'm going to win the fight. And at the end of the day, I respect that guy. I respect Zach. I respect his coaches. But it can only be one, and it will be me. And I just can't wait for him to get in there and see what he's going to go against.
I don't get excited about a lot of things. I mean, Matt will tell you. Your brother will tell you. He knows me a little bit. You know, I've been there, done it. Been to a lot of things. I am excited about this fight. I'm looking forward to you and Zach being in the finale, and one of the two of you becoming the Ultimate Fighter, and I'm excited to be there and witness it in person.
Oh man, thank you so much, and I can't wait. And it's been a dream of mine now, and it's coming to fruition, and I just can't wait to get in there and execute.
Well, congratulations, you know, to the experience, to the outcome of being on the Ultimate Fighter. Best of luck. I'm sure we'll talk to you before the upcoming fight, and looking forward to meet you in person.
Oh, sounds good, brother. And I can't wait to see you and talk to you guys in person.
Awesome. Thanks, Muhammad. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
You as well, Muhammad Usman. In the final, you know, like we said, and like I said, when you looked at the talent. You know, and anything can happen in a fist fight. You know, I understand that. But these are the two that I thought. And I even thought that's why Dana made the selection that he did, instead of having Zach and Muhammad fight in the semis. You know, it was kind of set up for this to be,
for sure.
You know, the finale.
Eduardo
was a good fight.
It's tough.
I mean, you know, he's a big kid. And I kind of wanted to mention this, that it almost looked like a heavyweight fighting a light heavyweight or a middleweight. That's how big Eduardo was, 30-some, 40-some pounds, a couple inches on the reach and the height. And he did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
And he got it done. It was a split decision. And the finale will be in a couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And then next week will be the final of the show with Juliana Miller against Caitlin Neal. So excited to see that as well. Good stuff today.
Now that show is going to be coming to a conclusion. Big Brother started last night. Was that
why right? Are you're
just asking if you're a fan?
No, I'm not. I will not watch Big Brother again. I'm
what?
Done. I'm
really?
Done. I'm done. Yeah.
Even if they have UFC fighters like Misha Tate that win it? Like, you're not going to watch for your friends that are on it?
I don't know. That's different. But thanks for goating me into this, rallying me up. But yeah, some things were said. And, you know, I would follow on Twitter and all these, you know, people that watch everything, you know, how they have 24/7. And they're already making it racist, racial stuff. And I don't want any part of it. I'm not watching it. So. Unless you want to get me kicked off FCC, I just won't. I walked out of the room. When my wife went to watch it, I walked out of the room.
Okay.
And sat in the back room and played on my phone, which I do so well.
All
right. It doesn't have to be about race. All this stuff doesn't have to be about race. I'm going to leave it at that. Leave it at that. Thoughts on Saturday's fights?
Did
you know the UFC even has an event this weekend?
No.
Are you even aware of that?
No.
Okay.
I'm just looking forward to like November 12th because I love going to New York. Any chance I get to go to MSG, I'm there.
Who says you're going?
I got to go.
Well, you've moved down the list.
What are you talking about?
You got to ask, get permission and see who else is already going.
I'm the guy.
The guy of what?
I'm the guy that's going to the MSG with you.
Well,
I'll take a box truck from here all the way up.
We'll have to discuss that.
At least halfway.
I want to thank everybody who tuned in. Hit us up on the website. We haven't been pushing it that much. So check it out at knockoutradio.com. The new channel, the new YouTube channel is blowing up.
Blow up.
Radio space, knockout space radio on YouTube. Give us a follow. Subscribe.
At least get that name right.
Yeah. we're gonna call it Knockout Pena.
The domain name is important.
Knockout
the fighter Pena. Names are not.
All right. Want to thank everybody. We'll see everybody next week. BKFC will be in the house. A whole lot of cool stuff. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. See everybody next week.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.